You know, we've been talking about 1 Corinthians. And we got Larry and Angela coming next Sunday. I wanted to go to chapter 5 and start chapter 5, but I just didn't have the release to do it. So I want us to go back here just a second. I'm telling you guys, this has been really such a treat for me because I think about some of the things that we've been looking at in 1 Corinthians. I'm telling you, the Lord is so wonderful. He is mindful of us. You know, he begins out telling the church that they've been enriched in all things. The grace of God, the grace of Christ has come to them and enriched them in all things. He told them that all things was theirs. All things are yours. Isn't it wonderful? I'm telling you, he talked about how Jesus is our wisdom. Christ has been made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. God has made that to us, not of our own effort, not of our own doing, but of his mercy and goodness and his grace. And he said, all things are yours. Glory to God. Oh, I'm telling you, it is all ours. And yet, we looked at some things, how he admonished them to be spiritually minded. There was things he wanted to minister to them, say to them. He felt like he could not, and we talked a little bit about that. But he exhorted them, encouraged them. Praise God. And then he gets over here in chapter 4, and I'll just use this for the sake of where we're going today. Verse 1 says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. I want to read that again. Let a man, or let us, we would say here at the church, let us so account of us, people like Paul, as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Go with me to Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 says, there is one body and one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. When he's talking about baptism here, and I'm not teaching on this, but I want to say this because sometimes this brings confusion to people. This baptism he's talking about here is being baptized into the body of Christ. It's when a person becomes a Christian, is born again, they're baptized into Christ. Okay? There are different baptisms. Matter of fact, you go to Hebrews chapter 6, one of the doctrines of Jesus is the doctrine of baptisms, plural. God's not confused. He's not the author of confusion. But particularly here, he's talking about one faith, being baptized in the body of Christ, being born again, being born into the family, okay? One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and is in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. I want you to look at that phrase. And he, I'm talking about Jesus, gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. You know, Jesus descended into the lower parts of the earth before he ascended. People struggle sometimes and don't believe Jesus went to hell. But you know he did. You know, Revelation tells us that he was dead and yet he lives. And he has the keys of death and hell and the grave. He has the authority. He has the power and the authority. Praise God. He has it all now. When he had been raised from the dead, he told his disciples, he said, behold, all power, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. He took it back. Praise God. Wonderful. That's why we sing songs like we sang this morning. You are wonderful, marvelous. Take your place. all honor, all glory, all power, all authority. Take your place, Lord. He's there. Now, we're there with him, but I'm telling you right now, bless God, he's at that place. We sing about what God did for us and what God did through him and by him for all the human race, for all of mankind. We're included. What a blessing that is. I'm telling you, listen, I can't say it enough. The Lord is mindful of us. He loves us with such great love. And the more we can establish love, comprehend love, dwell in love, walk in love, think love, talk love, the more God we see and experience in our lives. The less we deal with any kind of fear or concern or worry or doubt. Why? Because love perfected in us, matured in us, casteth out fear. I tell you what, when there's no fear, listen, you know what worry and anxiety is and stress is? It's just a part of fear. We're just thinking that something bad's going to happen or the worst can happen. That means we're afraid or we're concerned. Still, it's still connected to the spirit of fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but God has given us a spirit of love, spirit of power, spirit of love, and a sound mind. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, praise God, He went to the lower parts of the earth for us, but I'm telling you, God raised him from the dead. And now he's ascended high above. But we see something that took place. Once again, verse 9, now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Now look at this. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting or the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, into a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. When I said earlier, and I said this when we received the offering, that the Lord is mindful of us. Well, sure he is. And he's so mindful of us that when he ascended, he gave us gifts. He gave gifts to men. Now here we're talking about the fivefold ministry gifts. There's other gifts. Let me say something to you. I've said this before, and I need to say this. God is not a respecter of person. Just because somebody has a ministry gift doesn't mean they're better than somebody that's just a lay person. Okay? God is not a respecter of person. We all have a ministry. We're all called ministers of reconciliation. All right? But we recognize here that God, Jesus, gave. We also see, and we'll see later in our study in Corinthians, how God set in the church. God set these things in the church. It was his ideal. It was his plan. Why? To profit us. To help us. To equip us. To edify us. To minister to us. To help us be perfected and matured. Now listen to me. Nothing replaces your own personal study and devotion time. I'm going to say that again. Nothing replaces or takes place of your own personal relationship and communion and fellowship with the Lord. Somebody else can't do your praying for you. You can't do my praying for me. Now you can pray for me and I can pray for you. And God will honor those prayers. But Paul says, we'll look at this later, Paul says, we are helpers of your faith and of joy. We don't have dominion over your faith. We don't have dominion over your lives spiritually. We're here to help you, but by faith you stand. Okay? So, we understand these things. However, if we could walk like we should walk, if we were to could be edified completely to the place that God wants us edified, if we're to experience all the fullness that we can experience without the ministry gifts, then why did God put these in here? Seems to me that God understands and knows how we are, knows what we need, right? The Bible says the Spirit of God, searches all things, knows what is the mind of the Spirit. He knows us, right? More than we know ourselves, and yet He knows what's good for us. And yet God gave gifts unto men. Ministry gifts. You know, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. Now here's the thing about gifts, ministry gifts. These are calling and offices that men and women stand in. They are anointings. Okay? The anointing or the Holy Spirit comes upon you to help you operate or function in a calling that God has called and purposed. Okay? And it takes the Spirit of God, the anointing of God, to accomplish it. You know, Jesus, I'm telling you, time's getting away. But Jesus is the only person who stood in every fivefold ministry gift. Now, there's people that can stand in more than one ministry gift. In other words, I can stand in the office of pastor and teacher. Okay? But Jesus stood in the office of the apostle. Hebrews tells us to consider the apostle of our faith, the high priest and the apostle of our faith, Christ Jesus. He was an apostle. He was a sent one, right? God sent him. He was the sent one. Jesus was a prophet. Remember, he said no prophet has honor except in his home country. He was referring to himself. He was a prophet. Right? Jesus was an evangelist. Jesus preached the gospel. Jesus went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing. He stood in that office, right? Jesus referred to himself as the good shepherd of the sheep, where we get our word pastor from. And of course, we know Jesus was a teacher. He taught the people. Jesus stood in these offices, okay? But listen to me. God anointed him. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power who went about. Right? So there had to be an anointing. He was still the Son of God at 12 years old, 13, 22. But around 30 years old, he was baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God descended upon him as a dove, we see when John baptized him. And then from that point on, he went about because the anointing was upon him. He actually stood in the synagogue and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and He hath anointed me to," and he fill in the blank there. Likewise, God has sent things to us and has anointed people for our benefit. Paul said, "Do you account us as ministers?" In other words, how do you view it? How do you see it? Because how we view it and how we esteem it and how we value it is vital, very important to the degree of what we receive from it. Do you know that principle applies when Jesus was talking about the kingdom of God in the parable of the sower? He said, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." And then he said this, right on the heels of that, next verse, "With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And he that hath, more will be given. And he that hath not, even that which he hath will be taken away." He was talking about the heart and the attitude of the heart to hear and the desire to hear. If you have a desire to hear and it's truly a desire and you esteem it and you value it, then more will be given to you. If you don't esteem it and see it the way it should be, or God's intention, God's purpose for it, then even that which you have, it can be stolen from you. Who's the thief? Is God the thief?
No.
No, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. The parable of the sower talks about the adversary comes. Satan cometh immediately. What? To take the word away from your life, from that which is ministered and spoken. Let's look at a few scriptures right here. Are you with me this morning? Go with me to Romans, the first chapter. You know, when we were looking at 1 Corinthians 3, Paul talked to the church at Corinth there, and he talked about how that there's things that he could not minister to them, right? It didn't say he wouldn't do it, it said he couldn't do it. And it had to do with the attitude of their heart, where their heart was. Jesus always said, out of the heart proceeds. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man per se, it's what comes out of him. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 1, verse 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. I'm going to start on the back end here. Notice he talks about it's the mutual faith. Faith has to be mutual. This is not a one-way street here. It's important that ministers, it's important that I pray, that I prepare. It's important that anybody who ministers the gospel, the word of God, that they look to God, they pray, they seek the Lord. They open up their heart to listen, sensitive to the Holy Spirit, that they be led by Him, right? But also we see that in order for things to be imparted, things to be established in people's lives, let me say something to you, something that God imparts to us and something He brings to establish us, I'm telling you, it's a good thing. It has everything to do with everything in your life because God knows you, He knows where you are, and He knows what's ahead. See, that's the thing about our Heavenly Father in the Spirit of grace. He has the ability to see ahead. Didn't Jesus say that part of His ministry is He can show you things to come? Why? Because He knows the things that are coming. He has that ability. We're just where we are. But see, things need to be imparted to us. Things need to be established to us. Listen, by the Spirit of God. When impartation comes, listen, this is not flesh and blood. This comes from our Father. This comes by the anointing. When Jesus went about doing good and healing and doing good things and all these things that took place in people's lives that affected their lives, I mentioned the madman of Gadara a while ago, but that's just one of many. The reason it was is because God had anointed him and people got to partake of that impartation, of that anointing that God put upon his life. Likewise, today, when you come to church, when you come to hear the word of God, whether it's here today or any service you're in, you need, and I'm talking to me too now, guys. I'm speaking to all of us. We need to esteem and evaluate and see what God sees in this thing. It's vital. Because we see, number one, Jesus could not do mighty things in his hometown. Why? Because people did not value him. They did not esteem him. They got offended at him. And really, it's just, God calls that unbelief. It didn't say Jesus would not do it. Says he could not. See, people think, well, God can do anything. No, he can't. No, he cannot. Paul's writing here. He says, listen, I long to see you. I want to come. There's things that can be established and imparted, but this thing hinges on the mutual faith, both of you and me. What am I saying here? How does this relate to us? Well, we need to pray for our services. All of us. You don't have to spend hours upon hours upon hours upon hours. Now listen, we sometimes the Holy Spirit, you may have more seasons when you're praying about something, not just a service. You may be praying about something in your life, about your livelihood, about direction or decisions. You may be praying for somebody else. And yet you may spend some extra time and the Holy Spirit may just keep you there praying. But let me say this to you. Always know this. It's not how long you pray. It's how quick you can believe. What do we really believe? Are we just going through the motions or do we really believe these things? See, that's what Jesus said. What? How you measure this? Well, you measure something on the inside of you. See? And so it is vital for all of us that we recognize and understand that what we believe. When he says mutual faith, faith is something you believe. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. We're not going by the natural realm. Listen, we're believing in something that is greater. We're believing, praise God, with God all things are possible. There's nothing that is not impossible with God. You know, in our Christmas fellowship, that's something the Holy Ghost wanted me to share with all of us. We need to take those words that were spoken to Mary. Listen, with God, nothing's impossible. God is a spirit. And yes, the Spirit of God is upon people, operates through them to help them minister their gifts. Paul says, Do you account us? Do you account us as ministers of God and stewards of the mysteries of God? Do you esteem it? Do you really see it that way? He's saying the same thing here. You remember over in Thessalonica, Paul said, when we came to you, I talked to you, I think last week or so, how the way Paul really was. Paul was not only willing to preach the word of God to people, he was willing to pour out his soul to them because they were dear to him. Matter of fact, we covered in the book of Acts how that people from Iconium, right? And Antioch came when he was in Lystra and ministered. A man was healed there, and yet people came because he had been to Antioch and Iconium and preached the gospel, and the Gentiles and people were so excited, yet the Jews, the unbelieving Jews, got stirred up. And yet they came to where he was, and they laid hold of him. They stoned him to death. God had mercy, and the believers gathered around him, prayed for them, and God raised him up. And then he turned right around and wanted to go back to Iconium and Antioch to check on the believers there. He wanted to go back and check on the people there to make sure that they were good, knowing that there's a great possibility that the people that stoned him the first time would catch wind that he's back in town. And you know, next time they may ante up the odds a little bit and say, you know what? Oh, God raised him up. Why don't we just sever his head next time and see if God will put his head back on him. And yet his heart was for the people. And yet he wrote this to the church at Thessalonica, his first letter. And yet he said something about them. Not just the way he was. He said, listen, you guys, you received the word not as a word of from men, but you received it as the word from God. And because of that, and the attitude of your heart, and the way you esteemed it, he said, it works in you effectually. What do? We mix faith with it. We take time to pray about it. Lord, thank you for our times that we get to come together. Father, thank you. Father, we covet. You know, Paul said this. We'll look at this later. Paul instructed us by the Spirit of God to covet earnestly the best things, the best gifts, to desire spiritual things of the Spirit, things that the Spirit of God would do and how he would operate and minister. We're to covet. That, you know, that's the only thing we're to covet. We're not to covet natural things. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, we should say, I will not fear man or what man has or what man can do. The Lord is my helper. We're to boldly say, we're not to be covetous about anything. Why? Because He's our Heavenly Father. The Lord is our helper. We're not to covet anything of the natural realm, but we are to covet spiritual things, and we're to covet them earnestly. It means something. Now listen, I'm preaching you guys. You're here today. I'm preaching to the choir, so to speak. But I admonish all of us. Because let me say something to you. I've experienced this myself. So I'm not, you know, last week when Paul said this, we read this in chapter 4. He said, I write these things not to shame you. In other words, he says, because he was sharing some things with them that it was important. He had admonished them how it's sort of like a sandwich. He had praised them, got a layer, and then all of a sudden he had to make them aware of some things. But he said, I'm writing these things, I'm saying these things not to shame you, to get on to you. That's what he's talking about, to shame you. I'm not trying to get on to you, put you down. I'm trying to write these things to warn you or to make you aware so that you'll be aware of these things. I've seen people sit in a service, somebody get excited and come out and want to preach to you about the service. And they got all stirred up about it, and then the same other people sat in the same service and didn't get anything out of it. I seen a woman in the Bible where people was thronging him and touching him. And yet because this woman touched him, virtue came out of him. I'm talking about the woman with the issue of blood. And then Jesus turned and said, who touched me? And Peter said, what do you mean who touched you, Lord? Everybody's touching you. I'm paraphrasing it. Everybody's touching you. What do you mean? How are we going to tell who's touching you? Many people grabbing you, all kinds of stuff. He said, no, somebody touched me. You know why? Because this woman said within herself. You know what she said? When I get to him, when I touch him, I'll be healed. You know what? There was something in her heart. She had purpose when she went to the meeting, when she went to the church service. We'll talk about the church. I mean, I know he went in the church, but he was there. And yet she came to receive something from him, and she said within herself, you know what? That's a part of prayer. And when Paul says, listen, I long to see you. God's bringing me here. I believe I'm going to have a prosperous journey by the will of God. At the end of the book of Romans, he said, listen, pray with me that what I have to minister will be accepted of the saints. So what does that say to us? Does it mean it's all automatically accepted? Does it mean that people automatically esteem it and value it? If they did, then there's no need for prayer. But Paul said, pray. Do you see what I'm saying? What we believe, what we desire, what we're looking for, what we're expecting. You know, we can create atmospheres. This is something I've prayed here since I've been here. And because Larry and Angela are coming in, but this is something I pray often. Lord, I was praying this past Tuesday night when we were here for them. Lord, let there be such liberty and a freedom here when they come. I'm talking about a freedom and a liberty in the Spirit. Let there be a freedom. Listen, guys, you know Jesus perceived people's thoughts. You know when they let the man down on the cot, on the bed, they tore the roof off. And yet he looked at him and he said, son, your sins be forgiven. And then people begin to think things and say things. Who does he think he is? You know, the Bible says Jesus perceived what they were thinking. Do you know that people think that Jesus is the only one that can perceive? No. Don't tell me that. You've perceived what your children were thinking. How'd you do that? We just read in Corinthians, in our study of the Corinthians, Paul wrote to people. He says, why do you act like what you have is as if you didn't receive it? Why are you puffed up? Why are you glorying in yourself? Everything that you have is because God's goodness is given to you in His mercy. You're acting like you didn't receive it when everything you have is because you've received it. You remember Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. The intuitions that you have concerning things, whether it's your spouse, whether it's your job, whether it's your children, the things you pick up on, and yet you and I know that we've proved this out before in our lives. I've always said this about mamas. Mamas are, it's amazing how women have, you better watch it. They just know. Man, I've seen it. They've perceived it. You better watch out for that person. What? I mean, I've had Dana say this before. What? What are you talking about? You know what I'm talking about. I'm like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm talking about years going by, growing up. Better watch out for that woman. I'm like, what? She get that look. What do you mean, what? Listen to me. I'm telling you right now. Jesus perceived things. He picked up on things. That's spiritual. I've been in situations. I've conducted funeral services when there's been such liberty and rejoicing, and things come out of you that can help edify the people. And then I've been in situations where I'm telling you, it's like standing up and preaching to a wall. It was hard, difficult. It was not easy. And it wasn't because I hadn't prayed and about what I was going to share and things. I walk in that place. It's a spirit. I remember to the point I did one over at Elmwood Cemetery years ago. Didn't know these people. And I think I've shared this with you before. And then when I get into the car with the funeral director to ride to the graveside there, she said, just ride with me, Reverend, and I'll get you there and back, and it'll be easy for you. I said, yes, ma'am. I got in the car with him, just riding quiet there just for a second. All she turns and looks at me. She said, it's a big difference when somebody, when people are believers and they're not, isn't it? See, she picked up on it. Yeah. It was it is the most difficult funeral service I've ever done, ever. And I've had a few others. I've had a couple of services sometimes in where things you weren't received. I tell you what got me addicted to prison ministry is because the first time I ever went into Donaldson Prison, which is a level 5 maximum security prison, they have death row there, went in to minister and got the opportunity. And when I stood up, the anointing of God came on me. I began to preach. I didn't teach, I began to preach. And there was a man on the front row, looked like Robert Newhouse, running back for the Dallas Cowboys. I'm telling you guys. And he sits there, and all of a sudden he starts trembling and shaking. And I begin to think for a second that he may be upset. He's fixing to jump up and attack me because this is my first time in prison. And I begin to get concerned a little bit. But I'm telling you, when the Holy Ghost is with you, you just stay with it. And the next thing I know, tears begin to run down his eyes. I saw men in there lifting hands. People, I thought, my God, they have more liberty in here than we have at the church sometimes. These men are, even though they're in prison, incarcerated, they're free, they're hungry. They wanted God. They want you to preach freedom to them. They love Jesus. They're full of the Word. I go in every Monday. It's addicted. I mean, I see these guys, and I embrace them. Before I leave, every time I tell them how much I love them and what it means and how I cherish the time that I get to come and spend with them because God gave His life for them. And even though some things has been altered in the natural in their life, they'll not miss out. Don't ever let the devil lie to you and tell you that your future's not bright. He'll make everything up to you. And the embrace that they receive from that. Because you can't lie to these guys. These guys have been around con artists all their lives. They know if you're real or not. Listen, if it wasn't genuine, they would run me out. I'd be like a rabbit thrown in amongst wolves, spiritually speaking. They would tear me up and spit me out. I mean, it would be awful. But because there's mutual faith. I wish I could take some of you with me and just experience what we experienced there. I've told you about the guy, one of the gang leaders, the main gang leaders in the prison there. I didn't know he was a gang member, but he came up to the altar, and I have my finger, I'm poking him in his chest. I'm not being mean or ugly, but I'm just tapping him in his head. Man, you don't put your finger, you don't do that to guys like that in there. You just don't do that kind of, but I didn't know that. Thank God I didn't know it. But the Holy Ghost knew it. His name was Stephen. I'll never forget it. One of the bigger guys walked up to me and he said, "You know who you was praying with and putting your finger on there?" And I said, "No." He said, "He's one of the leading gang members in this prison." But see, God loved him, and I was telling him how much I appreciated him being coming up and taking the opportunity to come up, and how proud I was of him, and how much the Father loved him. And you know what? He could sense something there. There was an anointing there. If the anointing was not there, I promise you guys, if the anointing was not there, I don't care, he'd have looked at me and said, "Get your hands off of me. Don't you ever touch me again." And he'd have said it in front of everybody there and did not care. "Don't you ever put your hands on me again." I'll close with this. You remember when Jesus sent his disciples out? He went about and he saw the people, and the Bible says he was moved with compassion. And he saw the people, the sheep. He called them the sheep, that they were scattered as people or sheep, as having no shepherd. And he turned to his disciples and he said, "Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send laborers into the harvest." What was he saying? When he ascended, he gave gifts unto men. He wanted people to come in and minister to people. Of course, he wanted pastors who would love people, true pastors. There's more to pastoring than just teaching, getting them preaching to teaching. You got to love people. You got to be with people. You got to truly care about people. But he cared about people. And then, that's chapter 9, at the end of chapter 9. Next thing, he sent the disciples out. And he said, "Go." He said, "Don't carry no purse with you. Don't pack you a suitcase full of clothes." I'm paraphrasing. Don't do any of that. He said, "You go. You go into cities and you go into houses." Notice he used those two terms. "I want you to go to cities and I want you to go to homes." Because back then, God wants not just homes, but he wants cities affected. There's a bigger picture here, guys. It's just like our prayer times. We come and pray on Tuesday night and we pray for prayer requests. And we will always pray for prayer. We will always pray for prayer requests because God loves people and people have needs. But let me say something to you, and it's not being insensitive or inconsiderate of prayer requests, because it means something to us. But you know, there's a bigger picture in praying than just praying for prayer requests, because God wants cities changed. He wants revival. He wants things done where people's lives are affected. And yet he told him, he said, "Go to these cities, go to these homes." And bottom line is this. He said, "If they receive you, then let your peace come to that place." He said, "If they won't receive you," he said, "let your peace return unto you. Shake the dust off." Here's what he said. He said, went on to say, he said, "Because if they won't receive you, nor the words that you preach or speak." Remember Jesus in the parable of the sower talks about that him that has ears to hear? What you measure and what measure you put on will be measured to you. He that hath, more will be given. He that hath not, that which he has will be taken. Because of the way you look at it. He was saying the same things to his disciples. And he said, because the bottom line is this. If they don't receive you or what you're saying, then they don't receive me. And if they don't receive me, they don't receive him that sent me. It goes all the way up, as we say, the food chain. It goes all the way to the top. But see, I'm telling you right now, I'm looking at a people that's not that. We covet, we desire. Listen, this is not of our own efforts anyway. We have to do this of faith. We have to trust. We have to depend on something that's bigger than ourselves, but we truly do. And listen, we do like the woman with the issue of blood. We say some things. We speak some things. "Lord, I thank you when Larry and Angela come." I'm just using this for example. "I thank you, Lord, for the freedom and liberty that they have here. I thank you for such an atmosphere of love. Lord, we receive them in love." You know, Jesus told the guys, he said, "When you come," he said, "you don't need no purse with you. You don't need to carry no money. The house that receives you, the city that will receive you, you'll be taken care of. And if they don't want to take care of you, shake the dust off your feet." We'll see this later in our study in Corinthians. those that preach the gospel are to live with the gospel. It is a great thing with the Lord if people minister in spiritual things, then we should receive or minister back to them carnal things. It's not a small thing with the Lord. The Bible said it is a great thing with the Lord. I'll tell you this. I know, guys, that the scripture talks us about faith and patience. And when you've done all to stand there for. There's times when we, and I'm talking about seasons. Listen, Paul was in, see, we read the scriptures in a few minutes, and yet he spent terms in prison, years. We read a few verses that he was in prison, yet that few verses was years. So there's times when we go through seasons and we walk by faith and we stay with it. And it's not that we're, listen, there's miracles and anointings and impartations and stuff taking place, and we want all these things, but that doesn't mean you're going to be walking by miracles every day. There's times you're going to have to walk by faith and patience. All of us are. We're going to stay with it, though. We're going to be faithful to the calling. Amen. Because we're faithful stewards of the mysteries of God, and we're all in this thing together, and we're believing for the better and the increase. And, oh, by the way, we especially want to surround and minister things here as a church family. That's what we'll get into next week. I started to get into the thing about the guy in the church who was having a relationship with his stepmother. And Paul talked about that church had the ability to turn that man over to the destruction, turn him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. In other words, there was something that church brought, spiritually speaking, together as one body. There's influence, there's godly influence. There are things that take place in the spirit. This ain't just patty cake, baker's man. I mean, this is the real deal. We'll talk about that. It's going to be fun when Larry and Angela leave. We'll get into some of those things. But let me say these things. We say these things for our admonition and our edification, not to shame people, harm people. Listen, we're to help people and love people and see people experience God as much as they can experience God. And that's the bottom line. Matter of fact, that man at Corinth, he was restored. The story ended well. Sometimes they don't always end well. I'll give you a personal testimony of that when we get into that. But there are those that do. And you know what? It's worth it. Stand to your feet. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you. We thank you and we praise you. If you're just next to somebody, you don't have to cross lanes or something, but if you're next to somebody, just take somebody by the hand if you can. Praise God. Just touch and agree here. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Father, we come before you today and we touch and agree. And Lord, as the overseer of this fellowship, we are mindful, as we had mentioned earlier, that you are with us. You've never forsaken us. And you're very much aware of what I'm speaking and saying at this moment. And yet all of our hearts are knit together in love here, as the scripture says. And so we pray today, the things that we've mentioned, Lord, we look to you. We recognize that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from you, Father. Jesus, we do esteem and honor that which you've given to us. Not only the fivefold ministry gifts, but you've given us each other. We're all members of your body. We're all members in particular, and we all have a supply. If I'd have kept reading in the book of Ephesians, it says that each joint, each member, just like the parts of our body, bring a supply to the other members and parts of our body. And today we touch and agree. First and foremost, we desire that which is of you, Father, for this church, this church family, for this city, this community, this state. And Lord, we're not the whole, but we're a part, just like we're a part of your body. And Lord, our voices and our hearts come before your throne. And we look to you as the one who is our great helper. And we desire that which you have for us, Lord. We believe, we mix faith that you are mindful and that you desire to increase us and minister things to us and bless us. And you delight in that. The scripture says we're to delight in you, and you give us the very desires of our heart. And we bring these things before you, and you bring them to pass because you delight in us and you're mindful of us. Lord, you're also mindful of what I mentioned about Larry and Angela. And we've been praying for them and bringing them before your throne. And we thank you for them. We thank you for each and every opportunity we have with those that you have gifted and called. And we esteem that, and we recognize that that is a blessing come from you. And Lord, our heart, even today, prays for them. And we continue and cease not to pray for them and ask you to prepare their hearts, strengthen them in their inner man. And not only their inner man, but strengthen them physically. I pray that their journey here be a prosperous journey, that there be no interference or hindrances. I pray your grace go before them and encompass them as a shield to help them and guard off things that would hinder or distract from the purpose and the call and the plan that you have for them while they're here. We pray that everything that's of your purpose and desire be accomplished. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for being their great helper and our helper. And likewise, as we touch today, we are the bodies, members of each other. And Lord, thank you right now. We just agree right now for divine life and strength and health and wholeness and life be ministered to each and every part. Because by faith, we release these things. We speak. We believe. Therefore, we speak. So I decree life and health and healing to every member of the body today. I speak peace over each and every one. I declare grace, grace to every mountain that's coming to stand in their way. And I thank you that that mountain will become and shall become a plain. Because of the shoutings of grace, grace. And the grace that I speak over them is Christ has redeemed us. Christ has redeemed each and every one from the curse of the law. Praise God. We thank you that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ makes us free from all darkness, infirmity. In Jesus' name. And Lord, as we go this week, we thank you. We thank you that we can walk and rest. I just pray that there be such rest and peace as we go. Faith is a rest. It's not a struggle, or we don't strive. We trust. And we walk in that trust and that rest that's in you and all that you've done for us. And we receive of the increase that you bring to us today, this week, this coming weekend, and even beyond all the days of 2019. We thank you for it. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.